Greetings, programs and users. It is John Patrick, the Master Control Program, live from the Edit Suite. Couple of things to talk about real quick. First, I apologize that there's been a gap of episodes. It started out a couple of weeks ago. Rojan and I got together, recorded an episode. It was a great episode, really good conversation. And my computer crashed and completely lost the entire episode. And then we intended to re-record after that, and the day we were supposed to record, I ended up having a family emergency. So it was another 2 weeks without being able to record, and that was able to be cleared up just before PenguinCon. So we had scheduled an event at PenguinCon to do a live recording, and this is the audio for that. We dug out the mobile recording equipment, everything worked great, and what you are about to hear is the very first live recording of Old Nerds Drinking. Greetings, programs and users. It is time once again for another episode of Old Nerds Drinking. I am John Patrick, the Master Control Program. We are here live recording at PenguinCon 2023 in the Westin Southfield Hotel. Here with me in the record is my co-host, Sound Off.
Hi, I am Jennifer, and I got invited to enjoy the fun. Apparently, appearing once means I get to be a co-host.
And down at the end.
And I'm Lisa. I was told about an hour and a half ago that I'm invited to also participate in the podcast, and I'm real excited to be on the podcast.
First time caller, multiple time listener.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Participation is optional. Fun is mandatory.
I thought drinking was mandatory.
Well, we will be doing that too. And all these lovely people who have decided to forego room parties, at least for the time being, to join us here at the show. Welcome. Well,
this is the pre-party.
With better selection.
And as is tradition, we are old nerds and we are going to be drinking. So let's see, what do we got? I got some Red Bull. I got some bourbon. I got some Jameson. Oh, what's this? Sunny D. I have been saving this. I found this at Meijer's the other day. This is Sunny D Vodka Seltzers. We took your favorite legendary orange flavor and added vodka to create a delightful drinking experience that tastes like you're sipping on sunshine.
Nostalgia for adults.
I'm sipping on sunshine. Woo! So, I'm going to pass one down to Lisa.
Yes, please.
One down to Jen.
Ooh, they're cold.
Oh, I know. One for me. I have one for an audience member. And then if anybody...
We should be slightly responsible. Do you have the thing that...
You only have a thing. I mean, I do.
Does it show you are of legal drinking age in the state of
Michigan?
Does
it start with one? Thank you.
So yeah, funny story. I was at work one time and a woman was filling out paperwork and she accidentally screwed up the year. This was 2022. And I said, it's okay, honey. Don't worry. I sometimes put 19 still at the end. And she's like, oh, well, that was only 3 years ago. No, that wasn't the 19 I was referring to. If anybody else would like to partake, I have some Jameson Black Barrel. We also have, this is New Holland Distillery's Dragon Milk Origin Single Batch Bourbon. I have partaken, and it is delicious. If anybody, I made sure to steal some cups, so.
Would you like something in exchange?
I want
to
show my
medical card. Show your card. Show your card and save.
Say when. What? No, that's okay. You can keep that.
Okay. I normally would, but between this, that, and that, this is going to be a very interesting episode.
Yeah. Well, funny story, the one and only time in my life I've ever been hungover was from drinking gin.
No! Also, literally, why there's plastic on the floor.
I'm pretty sure that's why they put us in this room.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, damn it.
This is very good.
Oh.
Probably the bathroom.
Well, as a consolation prize, would you like some bourbon?
Oh. Yeah, you've used that one. You want to use this one?
I mean, technically, if I have only poured from the can, if somebody would like to sample from the can.
All right. Let's crack it open.
Oh, nostalgia.
Prost. Or cheers of your choice.
Salud.
Lancha.
Oh, my God. It does.
It actually tastes like it. D.
I mean, I get a little bit of bitter at the end that I'm assuming is from like fake sugar, but like, yeah, like, oh my God.
This is fizzy Sunny D.
It does. And I mean, arguably this probably tastes better than just drinking Sunny D with vodka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as we learned, Sunny D is full of vitamin D and sugar. Yeah, give your kids this pure concentrated crack with a little bit of vitamin in it. Mm.
Oh, and if you couldn't afford that, you would get the little juice jugs that were just basically sugar water with...
The barrel-shaped ones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, barrel-shaped ones with a little bit of food dye in it.
Oh, for
yeah,
sure.
So Halloween last year, my daughter and I take my kids out trick-or-treating. My son usually peters out after a street. Like, we'll go the three blocks to the end of our street, we'll come back, he's done. He's got enough candy at that point, he's done, he doesn't want to walk. My daughter and I, we will go to the absolute last minute. And what we discovered is about four streets behind mine, like there was a whole block where everybody just went all out. I mean, there was one house that had like a full haunted backyard you'd go through. Another and fun when you go through the haunted backyard at the very end, there's a bar, you get to make yourself a drink. It was great. I think I got like four beers and other drinks the whole way. Like people were just handing out stuff. Somebody gave you like a little bottle of Fireball. It was great. I love my neighborhood.
Oh my gosh.
They had a tent set up where they were giving out like hot dogs and they had drinks. And then when we were going through, somebody was giving out those little jugs. So I confiscated that and made myself a cocktail. I forget what I called it, but it was just childhood in a can or childhood in a drink. I loved it.
Okay, now apparently Sunny D vodka seltzer.
Sunny D vodka seltzer.
Yay, new people.
New people. May we interest you in adult beverages, new people?
Yes. Well, we asked for the thing.
Sure. Cups are right there. We confiscated them from the water station. All right. Or there's Jameson, if you so prefer, but this is New Holland Distillery, so a local Michigan bourbon.
If you want to try it. That's only been used just to pour into this glass.
All right, can I?
Yeah. Go right ahead.
Or wait, the thingy.
Oh, the ID's right.
You know, if they're under 21, they turn the license up, right?
Technically, yes.
So, they do, but you may have that license up to 4 years after your 21st birthday. In my line of work,
it's
I check IDs, and yeah, it's like, oh, this is
it's
the horizontal ID, but it says 21 till under 21 till this date, and it doesn't expire till 4 years after that. Cheers.
So is the Sunny D vodka seltzer like at Meijer's now?
It is at Meijer's now. I literally got this at Meijer's about a week and a half ago. Fully intending to use it for the podcast purposes.
Yep. Probably going to be buying a 4-pack of this.
This may be the 2023 White Trash Summer Cocktail.
Whoa. So is that beating out your pink lemonade vodka from last year?
I was just about to mention, last year's White Trash Cocktail of Summer was Natural Ice, strawberry pink lemonade vodka.
Yes, that's a choice.
100. Okay, no. Look, okay, I am a guy who will spend $60 on a bottle of bourbon. That vodka in a glass with ice and club soda, better than it has absolutely any right to be. $11 for a fifth. It was amazing. I loved it. We drank it all summer long. No. Like honestly, I'm my usual drink of choice during the summertime is mojitos. Because I grow a ton of mint in my garden, and I grow it for mint juleps through Derby Day. And then after Derby Day, it's mojitos all summer long.
And can confirm he makes a really great mojito.
I also can confirm once you put mint in your garden, congratulations, your entire garden is now a mint garden.
And if you are not careful, your lawn is a mint garden. Your neighbor's lawn is a mint garden. Yeah.
What happens when you put the cat next to the mint and they start fighting each other for the lawn?
Believe it or not, catnip and mint are very closely related to each other. I passed biology in high school on a plea bargain. There was only one teacher that taught biology, and she realized if she failed me, she would have to have me again for a year. So guess who got a D minus? So he technically passed.
Steve, we're the Greek.
Yeah. They are very, I think they're in like the same plant family, catnip and mint. And yeah, they're about just as invasive. But I do keep like a pot of catnip in my yard because I just love having cats. And all the outdoor cats come in, and then my cats get in the window and get real upset that there's outdoor cats out there.
Then the rave happens.
Yeah. And then the raccoons come at night and nobody's out there. But yeah, I gotta say, man, this Sunny D is good.
It has no business being this delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Okay, so like now that we're drinking Sunny D, which vintage gaming machine are we breaking out now?
I was actually a little sad. One of my favorite memories of PenguinCon is when they would have all the vintage games set up in the lobby, and I guess the group that did that hasn't come back since COVID. So
okay, so what you're saying is I need to bribe my husband next year just to bring our collection.
Yeah, this is you have by far the most prolific video game collection of anybody I know.
Yeah. And guess what? My husband is 5 games away from having a complete Dreamcast collection.
Oh.
Stop it.
Yeah, no, it's been his passion project before we were dating. Stalled a bit because, you know, for a while it was just either my income supporting us both because immigrant K-1 visa can't legally work, or, you know, hey, we decided to get an apartment and a house and be adults.
Adulting is by far the worst choice.
There went the game fund.
What is it? It's adulthood is by far the worst hood I've ever lived in. But now you got to tell me. Now you got to tell me, what are the 5 games he's looking for?
All right, who's gonna message him and find out? I'll do it.
I legit don't know, but it's mostly down to the cheaper $30 to $50 games.
Oh well, that's good.
Because he started with the games he loved, then it moved into the I'm going to get the more expensive games while I can afford them. Thankfully, that part happened before COVID. And everyone decided to become gaming collectors again.
Yeah. I was going to say, as has been mentioned many times, my COVID passion project was the podcast.
Woo!
So just to let everybody know, this recording set up as you see it, courtesy of your tax dollars and Uncle Joe Fun Bucks.
Thanks.
Pew, pew. $90?
But yeah, no, I have serious love for the Dreamcast, and I have some. Well, I have Record of the Lodoss War, and I know that's still a really expensive game.
Yes, that one is one of the. It's up there.
And then The one I've been looking for for my collection is Skies of Arcadia, which was an RPG with airships. And I mean, you can't go wrong when you got an RPG with airships. But there were so many great games. You had Toy Commander, which was like the little arena battle game where you were in remote control cars instead of rockets. You were shooting like CRAN missiles at each other. You could be a car, and then if you drove into the little toy airfield, you could be a plane and you're shooting pencils. It was by far one of the most creative and fun games I ever remember playing on the Dreamcast. What was some of the other ones? Then there was Crazy Taxi. Pretty much launched the Dreamcast.
And it's also the only version that still has like most of the music with it outside of the actual arcade machine.
Oh,
yeah.
that one, all I remember is that one Offspring song that would play.
Yeah.
And let's be fair, that one Offspring song is every Offspring song. My work recently switched from the classic rock station, which for some reason we were getting signal interference, so we switched to New Rock Alternative 98.7. And that threw me off, because if there's any other local people here, when I was growing up, 98.7 was smooth jazz.
And it was also hip hop.
98.7. That was where you had Pillow Talk with Alan Alda.
No. Pillow Talk was WNIC 100.3. How do I know that? Because my mother listened to that station all the time.
Oh, man.
And if we were going out after dinner, it was always Alan Almond at like 7 o'clock. Why I still know this, why this knowledge lives in my brain, I have no idea.
I mean, it's the same reason WOMC's Sunday morning Eggs Over Easy program is stuck in my head because of my mom.
Oh, fair enough.
No, 100%. I unironically have Angelo's, the theme song for Over Easy, on one of the playlists on my phone right now.
Actually, I do too, for nostalgia reasons.
I love that song. And I loved Saturday or Sunday morning Over Easy because they play like some of the weird, obscure folk rock that I actually enjoyed. But going back to the 98.7, so it's basically the soundtrack of my high school and just after high school years. So a lot of Offspring, a lot of Green Day. And because it's a syndicated radio station, it's a list of about 40 songs just on repeat. I listen to I can't even remember which Offspring song it is, but there's like two Offspring songs they play, and they play them all the time.
Yeah, Get a Job, Come Out and Play.
Yeah, I think it's those two songs, Get a Job and Come Out and Play. It was pretty funny because on 420 they played Sublime Smoke Two Joints. And when they used to do, it was classic rock on 420, they'd play One Toke Over the Line all day. It was great. for framing, I work in a gun shop. So when the marijuana songs come on, it gets a little weird. People start looking around like, what are they? We're talking about joints? New friends, would you like an adult beverage?
Well, do you have the cards?
Woo, the thing.
So you can tell the dynamic right now. I am the shenanigator. I instigate the shenanigans. They're the responsible ones. Because I'm like, hey, start drinking. They're like, hey, let's make sure you're 21 first.
Because I love this con and I don't want to get it in trouble.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, you did not.
We have Jameson. We have bourbon.
I think we killed the Sunny D.
Yeah.
Sorry. And then there is a little bit left of that. Just heads up, it is very potent. Probably not, because there's only 200 bottles of it.
And you're checking for bottle number 69.
Nice.
Mature adult, went through a whole store to try and find it. I am surprised it was still around, I first tried to find bottle number 42, though, and I could not find that one.
Oh. So, did you ever hear the story about one took over the line and where it was played originally
went on? No, but I have heard the story about the gospel group that re-recorded it and tried to turn it into a gospel song.
Well, it's funny because, like, the Lawrence Welk show from the 50s, like, in the 70s, the people that produced, the people who wanted to go to the line, got it on the Lawrence Welk show, and they looked at, and they listened to the lyrics, and they thought it was a gospel song.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah, because there's several versions of the story, but yeah, it's I've seen the video of it from I think the Lawrence Welk show, where it's like the couple that's singing it and singing it as like a kind of a country ballad song. One toke over the line, sweet Jesus. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like,
yeah.
You don't realize what
they have
to mean, the lightning.
Yep.
1972, so it was like.
I think there might still be a cafe in downtown Ann Arbor called Afternoon Delight that's only open from like. For like breakfast up until like noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
As long as they have endless mimosas.
Well, I mean, I forget which comedian was talking about, but there was a stand-up comedian who was saying, kids nowadays saying like, oh, we're the weed generation, we're the pot generation. It's like, no, you weren't. I'm from the 70s. We were the pot generation. Do you know why we're the pot generation? We made Muskrat Love a number one Billboard hit. They're like, yeah, you guys win. That's fair. That's over. You win. So we're here at PenguinCon. I feel it's appropriate. We should share some PenguinCon stories. I have a weird history with PenguinCon. My previous job was I worked in hotel audiovisual. So I was the guy who would come to the meetings, set up the projectors, set up and all, do all that stuff. And at the time I was working at the Novi Sheraton, which I believe at the Hilton was a Hilton. And it was just a normal day. I didn't know what was going on. And then all of a sudden, like, I see people setting up in the hallway and I'm like, hey, that's my comic book shop. What are they doing here? And I'm like, those people are in Trek uniforms. Something nerdy is going on, and I didn't know about it, but my people are here, so I must investigate. And that was how I found out about PenguinCon. And I believe it was PenguinCon 2, because the guest of honor was Neil Gaiman. And I got to, as soon as I found that out, I was all about like, yeah, I'll stay late. I'll take care of this. I got this. You guys can take off. And he is 100% as charming in real life as you have ever seen him in an interview. It's just disarmingly charming British. Like you think you'd be like, oh man, he's just so nice in real life. He is 100 times nicer. And this was before he was writing, his things were getting adapted into movies. This was kind of just when he was like the writer of Sandman. And so I got to give him the spiel about the microphones, get him set up. He did a reading of some of his short stories. And that was it. I would try to either work for PenguinCon every year after that. Shortly after it moved to this venue, I started volunteering to work here, and it got to the point where I stopped volunteering to work that weekend just so I could be here for the entire con, and met many a PenguinCon friends. In fact, I just ran into Nuri, who was a former con chair for a very long time, and we caught up like old times because he was the con chair when I was working here, so we knew each other. We're going back and forth. He's like, are you still with the hotel? And I'm like, no, I kind of moved on. And he's asking about people who used to work here. So I have a long history with this convention, and I love this convention. It is one of the few conventions you go to where nobody's trying to sell you anything. We've all been to Comic-Con.
Excuse me. As somebody in the maker's market, maybe we are.
Well, so for most part, well, they're voluntarily trying to get you to sell something. They're not forcing you to buy something.
Oh, okay. I get where you're going now.
Like who here has been to Motor City Comic Con? Who here remembers when Motor City Comic Con was in the Novi Expo Center?
Well, isn't it technically still there?
No, the Novi Expo Center is gone.
Oh.
Then it was the Rock Financial Showplace. Then I believe that facility was torn down, and now it's the Showplace Collection, which is a completely new facility.
Oh, I thought...
And they just expanded last year. Like, Motor City Comic Con was the first event, or one of the first few events in the expanded area.
Oh, okay. See, I thought Showplace Collection like just took over the naming rights of the building.
No, I believe it's a new building.
Okay.
And it's definitely a new building from the Novi Expo Center. Anybody who was at the Novi Expo Center remembers it was kind of a dump. But there were so many great stories because there was the hotel attached to it. I think it was an Embassy Suites. And all the celebrities who were showing up at the shows would stay at the hotel. So it was everybody would try to hang out at the bar because that's where all the celebrities would be. I remember Jerry Doyle of Babylon 5 would take over the pool table, and anybody could play pool with him. And the catch was you had to pay for the game. He would talk about whatever you wanted to talk about as long as the game was going on. And then as soon as the game was done, next person in line. And he was good. Games did not last long. I did not play, but I knew people who did, and they said, yeah, he would run that table. And that was just how he passed the time. Walter Koenig was another one who would show up and very famously not fond of his time in Star Trek. And so the more people who would come up to him and want to talk about Star Trek, just like the more brooding he would get. Those were the only two stories that really stood out in my mind, but I don't remember how I got on the tangent of Motor City Comic Con.
Because we were talking about like PenguinCon has Maker's Market, but we're not being like, "Hi, you need to pay $50 to experience this experience."
Got it. So, but now Motor City Comic Con, it's like, okay, it's $100 to get in the door. It's $50 to $100 if you want any autographs. It's you better bring some cash if you want to spend the day there.
Seats are the gold seats. They're reserved.
Oh yeah, the front rows are the VIP seats.
VIP lines.
Yeah, my good friend Megan is going to Motor City Comic Con. And she sent a message today of like, I think I got my autograph cost down to $400. Oh. And I'm like,
oh,
no, ma'am.
Ouch.
Yeah. Let's see. Who was it? I think it was Mike Nesmith was there a couple of years ago. And I remember growing up watching the monkeys on Nickelodeon at night. And I was like, oh, man, I would love to go see Mike Nesmith. He wanted like $200 for an autograph or a photo op. It's like, nope.
I mean, I can't complain about Motor City Comic Con too much because that's how I met Lisa.
Okay, well, story time.
I thought you knew this story.
Well, wait, we're sharing it on the pod.
I know this story. You're sharing it.
Do you want to tell it or do you want me to?
You know what? You go ahead.
Okay. So I met Jennifer when I was at Motor City Comic Con, I think it was 2017.
I can't tell you the year because it was before COVID, so everything's a blur.
Fair enough. In the olden days, apparently.
In the before time, long, long ago.
I was at Motor City Comic Con with two of my friends, one of whom had knitted herself a third Doctor scarf. So if anyone familiar with Doctor Who, the third Doctor is known for having a long, 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 long scarf.
Color-blocked scarf.
Yeah, color-blocked scarf. And she knitted one herself. And so the poor girl was dying all day. So she was wearing a lab coat and the scarf because she cannot resist a pun. And they wanted to hit up various celebrities throughout the con. So Will Wheaton, LeVar Burton. God, I'm trying to think who else was from Star Trek that we saw because that's who they wanted to see. just a whole bunch of people. So we went to the Wil Wheaton line way early because they were like, I want to for sure meet this person. I'm like, fine, whatever. And this lovely human was volunteering for the VIP line. Basically, it is there to just keep people like talking and keep their spirits upbeat because it's just like, hey, the celebrity is late and people can be angry. We weren't mad. We're just like, hey, we get to see him. We're happy with that. And so cut to like a few weeks later, we're both in a chat room together on some platform. Don't ask me which one. And she's posting pictures of her time at Con. And I'm like, oh my God, I met you. I totally met you. And I thought you were cool. And she's like, I'm really sorry. I met a ton of people. There were a ton of faces. I don't know who anybody was. So I went, I was with the people that wore the lab coat and the third doctor scarf. And she's like, oh, I actually remember you guys. And I thought y'all were cool. So we start talking.
And thus the friendship was
and
born.
And our friendship was born.
I love the fact that as a fandom, it's always kind of a love-hate relationship with some of the companies that make the things we are fans of and the actual fans themselves. And one of the cases in point is the Firefly Cunning Hat that Jane wears. Fox apparently went on a tirade one time of Etsy shops just cease and desisting every single person who sold a hand-knitted hat that was looking like the Firefly hat. The BBC, on the other hand, I believe has a specific pattern for the Doctor Who scarf, and they will send it to you if you want to make it so you can make your own official Doctor Who scarf. So I love when companies understand the fans and are helpful to them. Lucasfilm used to be great about it. As long as you weren't trying to make money off of it, if you were just making Star Wars content to make Star Wars, they were cool with it. I believe one year on Sci-Fi Channel, they even hosted a Star Wars fan film fest and had people make fan films and submit them. I think it was before the prequel trilogies came out, but that was a thing I remember.
So can we go back to how we each know PenguinCon? Because I know how I got to PenguinCon. I don't know how Jennifer got to PenguinCon.
You too.
What's really?
I believe I am patient zero for that, or the evangelist of it. Because I will I run into people in various circles, and I'm like, "Have you been to PenguinCon? Have you been to PenguinCon, dude? You need to come to PenguinCon."
Yeah, I think it was I was offered to crash in you and Lisa's room and be like, check out PenguinCon. I'm like, okay, nerds, cheap con, can drive to it. Not an anime convention that I'm used to going and staffing, but cool.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you do staff for a couple of anime conventions, don't you?
I used to. I was staff for Icon up in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I was the something volunteer supervisor. And then for Anime Fargo, I wore almost every hat but the con chair hat.
Heavy is the head that holds the con chair crown.
I tried for it, but I didn't get it, but that's fine because I got the position I wanted more anyways. I got to run guest for a year.
Oh, yeah, because then you get to do all the celebrities.
I mean, it helps when it's a small anime con and the people, Paul St. Peter is almost always there because he's from Fargo. So we pretty much, he is now our con mascot. He is our con uncle. The only reason he would not be at this con is like something family emergency or, you know, stuff that would keep anyone away from an event they loved. And then the other one, and then the two other guests were people I was already a guest liaison for in previous years. And I forget who the other guest was because I think we asked con attendees who they wanted and we just went, we'll try. Oh no, they said yes.
Yeah, you're gonna have to forgive me. My anime knowledge is so limited. I have no idea who any of those people are.
So what you're saying is I need to introduce you to some fun.
Well, my anime is very distinctly cyberpunk with a slight dash of mecha. I am not down with the Gundam, but some Gundam. But mostly it's like Ghost in the Shell, it's Akira, it's Bubblegum Crisis, it's Cowboy Bebop. It's the very kind of cyberpunkish anime.
Excellent.
Yeah. My daughter, God bless her heart, she's 13 years old, and she went through more anime in the last 3 years of middle school than I've probably watched in my entire life. It was like, oh, all of a sudden we were about My Hero Academia. Then it's like, we don't care about My Hero Academia anymore. Then it's Demon Slayer. And then it's like, we don't care about Demon Slayer anymore.
Well, they'll probably care about Demon Slayer now because new episodes literally just dropped about a week ago.
Yeah. And then there was Attack on Titan. And then it was, now we're not about Attack on Titan. So it's like hot and cold fads.
That sounds about typical for 13-year-olds, so...
I just remember rummaging through the manga store with your daughter and being like, realizing, I have way too much in common. when we are talking about shipping similar characters, it's the... I don't know whether to feel bad, guilty, or I'm doing something right.
If only she wasn't too cool for everything.
Also, again, sounds typical for every 13-year-old I've ever known.
Yeah, go. Well, that was kind of what I was implying. let's see. What else can we talk about? Are we all caught up on The Mandalorian?
I'm not. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I see someone
plugging their ears.
see ear plugging. So that's a no topic. Oh no! You're honestly.
I
did not watch the season finale until the morning before I was supposed to come here, and it's like I had an hour to kill while I was waiting to pick up my kids in the parking lot. And I was like, yeah, I should probably watch this.
See, because of this con this weekend, I was thinking of watching it, and then I'd have to rewatch it with my husband later. But Thursday went into a chaotic blur before the con.
And it's so weird because that's like the only thing I've consumed media wise between like, you know, work, kids, everything. We went to see the D&D movie about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I can talk about that one.
Okay. Yeah, it was every single thing I wanted it to be. It was not too serious, not too lighthearted, a good balance of really nerdy references and weird plans that you could absolutely see one guy in a group going, hey, let's try this. And in my gaming group, I am that guy. I am 100% Chris Pine's character. I am the much bigger hero than he thinks he, or than everybody else thinks he is, but in his own mind, he's awesome. So everything about it was great, except for the fact that there was a person in the audience who took it upon himself to comment on the movie while it was going on, and the fourth or fifth time something happened in a combat and he said, oh, looks like somebody rolled a one, I think I could have got away with a justifiable homicide. Like, you give me a couple of people on a nerdy jury, I think that could have done a justifiable homicide. But yeah, it was everything the other D&Ds weren't. It wasn't trying to be too over the top, but it was lighthearted enough that you got it. The people who were making it got it. They got D&D. It also helps that I am tangentially Facebook friends with Matt Forbeck, who was a person who wrote for D&D and a lot of other role-playing games. And so I was talking with him, and he's like, yeah, it's fun to see, like, the Chonky Dragon.
Chonky Boy!
Yeah. He created that character. So him getting to see his thing that he wrote for D&D coming to life, and, like, his joy at that just kind of made it even happier for me.
It was also the happy Easter egg of, like, if you don't know D&D, you're mainly seeing this movie because you hear it's good and you're nerdy and maybe want to learn more. It's kind of like, cool. And then you look at your partner to the left of you who's literally going, hey, chunky boy, chunky boy, chunky boy.
and you know, Chris, any excuse to let Chris Pine chew up the scenery?
Oh, God, yes. Do you feel, because I'll admit I haven't seen it. I want to, and I will. Do you feel it qualifies as camp?
That's a good question. I don't think so.
Okay.
Camp is, in most instances, when we think of camp, we think of, like, old movies that were trying to be something. And I feel like with camp, there's a specific thing they were going for, and by missing the mark, it becomes campy.
Okay.
Whereas this, I feel like there were elements that could have been campy, but they did it in a way that it didn't come off as campy.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's one thing to watch it now, but it's going to be another thing in 10 years to watch it with the lens of nostalgia. And then maybe we might say it was campy. It's very much like you look at the old D&D movie, and I don't think it was campy, and I think they were maybe going for campy.
I thought we weren't supposed to talk about that one.
No, we don't talk about the other ones that they made, the direct-to-DVD sequels. But we can talk about that one. I mean, it had Jeremy Irons in it. Come on. Like, I mean, he is a tour de force. But I definitely see there were a lot of points where it could have gone wrong and it didn't. The gentleman who portrayed the paladin was perfect. Like, that was exactly the portrayal of the, like, 18 charisma, but, like, totally 100% lawful good, and there is absolutely no deviation in his lawful goodness. Yep, he's just walking in a straight line. He's coming to that rock. What's he gonna... Oh, he's just... We're just gonna walk over the rock. It was just perfect. Or when he goes up to the dragonborn, and the dragonborn beggar says something to him, and he's like, that to you, good sir. It was great. What do you think, Jen?
Like, I enjoyed the movie because, similar to what you said, it had enough, like, D&D love in it to where it was like, if you are a fan and into the fandom and the lore, there were lots of parts and pieces, and when certain city names were referenced, it's like, I actually know what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't need to know the background of the cities or in the lore to understand the movie at all.
Oh, my God. Like,
and then I like the fact that while the bard did bardy things, it did not completely go down the trope of I hit on anything.
Oh, yeah. The bard, but not horny bard.
Yes.
That was a good choice made.
Like, the second in which they're like, are you two a couple? And the female character's just laughing and being like, no.
No. I will say one of the things that tickled me was when they're escaping from the ice prison, and it's they're going through the and then it goes to the map, and they're like from the Dale Lands and Winter Shadowdale.
Neverwinter, I think.
Yeah, Neverwinter, Shadowdale, all those places. And it reminded me that I know the map of the Forgotten Realms better than I know the map of the world I live in. And like geographically can pick out in that one scene where they're just flying over. It's like, oh, look, there's water in deep and there's that. And they're like, oh, yep, yep. I probably should have paid more attention in high school.
But boy, did I pay attention to my DM.
Right. Or the fact that I know the 300 to 400 year history of the BattleTech universe better than I know world geography going back 300 years or world history going back 300 years. Maybe a nerd.
Just a little.
I'm among my people.
There's a chance.
There's a chance. So you're saying there's a chance. But it's, I still have, it's funny. I haven't seen Ant-Man Quantumania.
I've seen that one because, Movie Tuesdays have kind of become a thing now. Because I realized at MJR, $7 gets you a movie ticket and a free medium popcorn.
Oh, yeah. My mom just told me about that. I'm like, well, shit, I wish I wouldn't have known.
So, Tuesday movies have kind of become a thing for me.
I have promised to take my son to see Super Mario.
That is next on my list.
Which will be a treat for me because I've already seen Super Mario at the movies.
With the scary nightmare Koopas,
with John Leguizamo as Luigi Mario.
Wasn't Bob Hoskins Mario?
Yeah, he's Mario Mario.
Oh, yeah.
John Leguizamo is Luigi Mario because their last name is Mario. that is a thing I will never be able to unsee.
Remember, just like, you know, previous D&D movies, this one's to erase those. This is to erase the other ones.
I was a little happy to find out that they did incorporate the Mario rap from the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Stop it.
Yes.
I love this.
it appears in the movie as a commercial for their plumbing, for the Mario Plumbing Company. Like Mario and Luigi are making a commercial and they're doing the Mario rap. Let's all do the Mario. I don't know if anybody in here is follows Toy Galaxy on YouTube. They just did a deep dive into the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, and it was great. I remember watching that as a kid. And one of the things that kind of blows me away is I was talking with one of my other friends here from PenguinCon. We were talking about movies, and you look at the Super Mario movie, and that was a movie. But then you look at that came out almost the same time was the first Ninja Turtles movie. And that completely holds up as a good movie. I have a 12-year-old son. He's autistic, and he will find things on Netflix. And so one day I came in and he's watching it. So I sat down to watch it with him and I'm like, man, it really is a good, it still stands up as a good movie. It's not too campy. When you're watching it, it doesn't even seem dated. Like a lot of times you watch a movie and it's, especially with technology, like, if you watch a movie from 5 years ago, it's comical when you see like the cell phones they're using, or like even from 10 years ago when they're still like somebody pulls out a Nokia phone. But you don't even notice it when you're watching the first Ninja Turtles movie. And it was a movie that they had. You could tell that the people who were making it had love for the property. I believe it was one of the last movies Jim Henson ever worked on, because Jim Henson's Creature Shop did all of the Turtles costumes and such, and the animatronics for those.
Which explains it why it doesn't look like Nightmare Koopas.
Yeah. but again, then you look at Super Mario, and it's like these movies came out at the same time. How did one live on as such a good... And I mean, I guess then you have to look at the other Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies And I don't mean the Michael Bay ones. Because my son watched those. They do not hold up. At all. It was painful to watch the third one. I don't think I even watched the third one when I was a kid and it came out. And then I watched it and it was painful.
Have you seen the trailer for the new one that's coming out this, I think it's this summer? So the Seth Rogen one?
Yeah, I saw it. I'm not impressed. I don't care for that animation style, but it's not for me. Like my son will go to see that, and I will probably have to see it with him. But it's... But see, and I like that.
I think
that.
It's between kind of between the comic style, but they wanted to make it a little bit more CGE.
I think it has to do with the fact that the voice actors, they got to play the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, sound like they're 12. And that is a disconnect for me. Like they sound like they have not experienced puberty yet.
Well, that's kind of what they're trying to do.
Yeah, they are really embracing the teenage part of it.
Yes.
The Nickelodeon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles show, that is another one my son and I have watched together, and I really enjoyed that. They took a lot of the lore from the original TV show and then tried to incorporate that. It's my problem with a lot of the Transformers cartoons that have come is they're just making a show about Transformers, but it doesn't hit on the rich lore that they've established about the Transformers. There was one Transformers show, there was Transformers Prime, and that did hit on the lore and did hit on a lot of the points of the original Transformers show. And it's phenomenal. If you're a fan of G1 Transformers and the Transformers movies, I highly recommend watching Transformers Prime. But
I was going to say, unfortunately, Transformers was not fully my thing.
I was a boy in the 80s, so TV told me that Transformers was a thing and told it to me enough and at sufficient volumes that Transformers is a thing.
I was a girl child growing up in the 80s, but all had all boy neighbor children. So yeah, Transformers were a thing. Transformers Mask, if anybody remembers that cartoon.
That, okay.
My neighbors had the toys for that.
Hold on 1 second. Put a finger down if there is a theme song from the 80s that still lives rent-free in your brain. Put a finger down if there is a commercial from the 80s that lives rent-free in your brain. Put a finger down if that either one of those things comes out at random times and just reminds you that those things live rent-free in your brain. I was at work. I told this story before on the podcast, but for the benefit of our audience, I work with a bunch of like young 20-something guys, and one of them came out from the break room and he's eating a bag of potato skins. He's like, "Man, if you've never tried these before, man, these potato skins are legit." And it's like, "Son, potato skins are older than you are. This is actually like the third incarnation of potato skins. The original was made by Keebler." Yep. "And the theme song for the commercials, 'Potato skins got baked potatoes appeal, 'cause they're made from potatoes and skins that are real.'" It is at that point I realized I may exist on the autism spectrum, because why does that live in my brain? Why did I feel the need to give a 5-minute impromptu TED talk on the history of potato skins? Why is there enough information for me to give an impromptu 5-minute TED talk on potato skins? And then I looked at like the glossed over looked at his eyes, and it's like, I probably should have shut up about 3 minutes ago.
I found the neurotypical in the room.
Yeah.
I love that is what made your brain go, "Huh, maybe there is something up with me."
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's other signs.
You see, right now in my brain, I'm having inside your brain has like the inside out scene where they pop up that random commercial bubble.
Oh, the gum theme song.
Yes.
There were other signs. It's just every once in a while it catches me off guard. And that is one of those things where it's like, yeah, okay, maybe there's a reason my son is, because, you know, maybe I am. And the fact that, as we've already mentioned, I know the geography of the Forgotten Realms better than I know the geography of the world I live in. I know the history of the BattleTech universe more than I know the history of the world that I live in. The signs were there.
I saw the sign. It opened up my eyes. I saw the sign.
Also a mantra we've at work, because we're switching to the new radio station, and I don't know those songs as much as I know the classic rock songs. If you don't know the words, just make them up convincingly enough and sing them with conviction, and nobody really cares.
Unless you're with some sort of musical friend who their little happiness in the world comes from knowing all the song lyrics.
I can't tell it because I am usually that person, but I also am a fan of just putting random words in as long as the cadence fits. So I'm not sure which person I would be at that point at the karaoke bar.
Reference the new TikTok I have fallen in love with is a gentleman. I don't remember the name of his channel.
Heath Allen. H-E-A-T-H-A-L-L-Y-N.
What is the name of the song? Because all I know it is...
Get Low by Little John.
Yeah, so his entire shtick of TikTok is, hey, let's see if I can sing the lyrics to Get Low to a song. And there are many, and they are all amazing.
Oh, that's his name. Yeah, I've watched a lot of his videos. Yes.
The one that I discovered first and has since been reposted to me several times is the song Just the Two of Us. Like, just the two of us. Like, so that song, but like, oh God, I'm trying to think. Like, see, now I want to sing Shorty with the Apple Bottom Jeans, and I know that's the wrong song.
Bottom jeans, boots with the fur.
With the fur.
The only reason I know any of those songs was because... those were all of my wife's songs. And
now I got it. To the window, to the wall, till the sweat dropped down my balls, till all these bitches crawl.
Skeet, 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 skeet. And now I'm just trying to think of, like, what songs can I have him? Like if I was going to suggest a song, and it's like, it's got to be something a little quirky. I don't know if it would. And I'm like... It's got to be. And then I finally came up with it today, and it's like Space Odyssey. Ground control to Little John. Ground control to Little John.
Oh my God.
All these bitches skeet, 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 skeet.
Oh my God.
This is Little John to ground control.
I'm making bitches crawl.
And I think these bitches know which way to go.
To the person apologizing in the back, please don't apologize because I'm about there with you. Another idea I just came up with, and I don't know if it would work at all. Maneater. By Hall & Oates.
I do love me some Hall & Oates.
I know you love me some Hall & Oates, but that's just what I thought of off the top of my head just now. I have no clue if it would work at all.
Well, it's great. working in the AV industry, you will discover that every person in the AV industry has a genre of music or a specific artist that they are 100% passionate about, and it doesn't make sense, but you're just going to go with it. I remember we had a couple of guys come in from our national crew from like out of state, and the guy who was in charge, it was Seal. He had a 1 hour long Seal playlist, and that was just, it's like, all right, we're setting this stage and we're listening to Seal. One of the gentlemen I worked with, it was Hall & Oates. And it would be 1 o'clock in the morning. We're tearing down a room that didn't get done till midnight. We're all angry and just like, we want to be anywhere else but where we are. And then he would put on the Hall & Oates playlist, and you just, it just made everything better. Like, we on the podcast have evangelized the Dial & Oates hotline. If you do not know, there is a 24-hour emergency Dial & Oates hotline that you can call this number, and it will let you choose one of four Hall & Oates songs and play them for you for all of your Hall & Oates emergency needs. And as of, I think, last year when we recorded that episode, it still exists and it's still running. I think you can hear Lion Eyes, Man Eater. I don't know what the other two are, but yeah. And I think we closed out the show. I plugged my phone into the board, and we dialed it up. It was like, press one for Man Eater. Whoa, here she comes. Watch out, boy, she'll chew you up. Whoa, here she comes. She's Man Eater. Me personally, mine is either Nerdcore Rap.
Please press 1 to hear Rich Girl. Please press 2 to hear
Manita.
Please press 3 to hear Privatize.
Please press 4. Oh, so good. Rich Girl. Okay, we're going to go with this.
Yep.
Still works. There's so many good old phone numbers that I don't know if they still exist, like
The
rejection hotline. That was a great one.
Ooh, I think I still have one that was like John Cena. That was like a John Cena hotline.
Oh my God, John Cena story. So last,
that's random.
You will definitely appreciate this, Jen.
Yay!
Because you are friends with the nerdcore rapper Mega Ran. So Thursday night, Schaefer the Dark Lord was doing a show in our area, and I went to see him, and during his set, he was talking about, the holiday season, and the holiday season starts with his favorite holiday, WrestleMania. And he was talking to Mega Ran, and they were making a bet about how the main event of WrestleMania was going to come out. And he was sure that one person was going to win, and Mega Ran was sure that that other person would win.
So one was Team Roman, the other one was Team Cody.
Those are words that I am assuming mean something.
They should mean more to you.
Okay, those are two wrestlers, I believe, both currently with WWE?
Yes.
Okay, because I know Cody for a while was with AEW? No.
Something, Cody Rhodes.
He was with another wrestling promotion, that's all
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, he was with WWE, left right. WWE, then went to AEW, was part of the EVP group, then left to go back to the WWE.
Got it.
So, Schaefer is a wrestling fan, but he doesn't have any inside knowledge, and even though the outcome was scripted, he didn't know what it was. So he made a bet with Ran, and who, if he lost, he would have to perform the John Cena theme song at every show of this tour. What he didn't know is that Mega Ran is in talks with people who work at WrestleMania, and is a, like, he does work with WrestleMania and the writers and has intimate knowledge of what the outcome of said fight was going to be. So we were treated to a impromptu which those horns are all I know of the John Cena theme song.
Same. And I used to watch a lot more wrestling when I lived with roommates.
Oh yeah. And I guess like two or three people were recording it and like tagging Ran in it.
As they should.
I did see Ran post something because he's doing a show tonight in Lansing.
I know, at the Stoop Fest. Why does he always do a show PenguinCon weekend? Because remember, what was it? Was this It was before COVID.
It was 18 or 19.
Yeah, I think it was 19.
It was the Monuments of Nerdcore. You and I snuck out of here Tuesday night to drive to Pontiac.
I was going to say, I remember that was in Pontiac, and y'all told me about it.
Yeah, it was the Loving, or no, not the Loving Touch. That was where last time. Yeah.
It was some joint in Pontiac he hasn't been to since.
I was going
to
say, he was playing at Stoop Fest, which is like a garage fest if you live in Brooklyn. It's an MC Frontalot reference.
But John was telling me this afternoon, I guess there was a notice at his hotel that's just like, no partying, no no that.
No partying, no loud music, no paraphernalia, no bringing in guests, no cupcakes, no nothing. So I posted, it's like, man, you should have played PenguinCon. We got two floors of room parties here, man.
I was going to say, I think he has a show tomorrow. Otherwise, it would have been the, come to PenguinCon.
Oh, I know. I was going to say, if it wasn't in Lansing, Lansing is a bit of a hike. I totally would have been down for the road trip.
Same. It was one of those, though, like I said, because of the trip me and you did back in 18 or 19 to catch that Nerdcore show. And realizing, oh, hey, yeah, that I had a blast at the concert, a lot of fun. But by the time we got back,
most
of the room parties were wrapping up.
Yeah.
It was like, oh.
Because, I mean, let's be real. PenguinCon, like a big part of PenguinCon is the room parties. I was a little sad how much After Dark programming there was this year, considering this podcast accounts for 25% of the After Dark programming of this entire convention.
Cheers. Woohoo. Yeah. I mean, technically one could argue, you know, probably people didn't do that because they want to be at the party rooms instead.
Right. And some of our friends who, Jen Peters and the Just Happy to Be Here crew, who are responsible for some of the After Dark panels, they were unable to attend this year. Because
they took a surprise trip to Georgia.
Oh, yeah, I just saw them post that. They were at the Georgia Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
Like, let's be fair. If I was going to go to the ass end of, or, well, no, it's not the ass end. Florida is officially the dick end of America.
It's America's wang state.
Yeah, to see a Renaissance festival, I would have gone to the Florida Renaissance Festival to see Jacques the Whipper.
Oh, okay. I know I've shared this with my friends.
Salem.
If you all don't know who Jacques the Whipper is, I recommend looking him up on either TikTok or YouTube. He is hilarious.
He is the one Jacques the Whipper.
He is my bisexual icon. I have no idea what his actual sexuality is, but he is my bisexual icon, and I will not be taking questions about that. Fun fact also, I learned recently, his day job.
He's
like an NPR reporter in Boston.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine is just like, wait, that's the same dude? I'm like, I guess. I don't listen to NPR as much as I used to, so I don't know anymore.
I desperately want Jacques and Adam Savage to have a whip off. Because Adam Savage makes all his own whips. For when Mythbusters did the Indiana Jones episode, he handmade the whip that he used for that.
Oh, wow.
And got the designs from the people who made the whip.
I found the top.
Yeah.
Oh, that just got me together.
Throw me the idol, I'll throw you the rope. throw me the idol, I'll throw you the whip. Is honestly one of my favorite just kind of throwaway lines. One of the others being, take the gun, leave the cannolis. No, wait, leave the gun, take the cannolis. Yeah.
Yes.
There was another podcast.
That was take the gun, leave the cannoli. You had it right.
No. Leave the gun, take the cannolis. Because it was, they had gone to get cannolis, they shoot the guy in the back of the car, and the one mobster guy goes, leave the gun, take the cannolis. And there was a podcast I used to listen to, and that was how they ended the podcast. Like, that was their philosophy, you know, in life, leave the gun, take the cannolis. And that always was just like a good mantra of like, leave the violence, take the good stuff.
Fair. That's fair.
But we're at about an hour, and there are room parties to attend to, so I think this is a good place to wrap it up. Jen, where can people find you in the world?
I guess this is where I plug all of my maker stuff, because yeah, I'd rather have them follow me there.
This is absolutely where you plug your maker stuff.
Hi, I have a Facebook business page, Wixie's Wonders. I sew cute and nerdy purses, tote bags, zipper pouches, and other small accessories. I'm also under TikTok under the same name, Wixie's Wonders, WIXYS. WONDERS. And yeah, also,
you didn't know there was gonna be a spelling bee.
Maybe I should not have had, never mind, totally worth it.
Yes, nostalgia, you should drink. Because this is the place to do it.
And Instagram, same name. Instagram,
she's Wixie's Wonders on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, PR lady.
Lisa, do you have any social medias you would like to plug for us?
I mean, y'all can find me on Facebook under my like government name, which I'm not going to reveal necessarily on the podcast.
She's a mystery.
What about
folks.
Your TikTok-y?
My TikTok is, I believe, Starklet42, Starklett 42. I do random stuff on there. I do mostly the silly filters and have a fun time. Mostly, I'm just kind of acting stupid, mostly in my apartment.
And you can always find me at John Patrick MCP on all the social medias. You can contact us at oldnerdsdrinking@gmail.com or the Old Nerds Drinking Facebook page. Come for the podcast, stay for the memes. Everybody here, we always end the podcast in a very specific way. The quote from Tron, end of line. So, just shout it out. And now,
end of line.
End of line.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now.
So, what's the plan?
Take car, go to Mum's, kill Phil,
sorry,
grab Liz, go to the Winchester, have a nice cold pint, and wait for all this to blow over.
I was gonna write them off.
Let's close up the bridge. Let's get out of here. Close it up, lights out.
Where are you headed, cowboy?
Nowhere special.
Nowhere special. I always wanted to go there.
We're going streaking! Yes!
All right, move on. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Nothing to see here. Please.